Watch et al., where Diane Lenning, America's education guru, will talk about education issues. Diane Lenning was an educator for over 30 years, as well as California State Union delegate to the NEA Representative Assembly. Diane was very involved in professional development.
Thank y'all very much for listening to you. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitarist and with the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Sykes.
Get your coffee ready, tea ready, settle back and relax and join with us tonight. We have a special guest, Debbie, a parent from San Jose, California area. Our call-in number tonight is 818-394-8537. Please call in and chat with Debbie and myself. This is Diane coming to you live from California, 8 o'clock p.m. California time, right next to the coast. We'll look forward to you joining us tonight. Be with you shortly to begin the program in just a minute. Welcome. This is Diane Lenning coming to you live. Tonight we have a great program planned for you. We have a special guest, Debbie, who is a parent of students in public schools in California. She's from the great San Jose area, California, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with her tonight about her experiences in public education in California. You know, public schools have faced unprecedented fiscal challenges, some would even say a crisis. Yet with money or without, our schools have been inadequately educating our children for decades. Poor student achievement and high dropout rates have plagued our state. In fact, California has gone from number one when myself and perhaps many of you went to schools in California down to number 49 or 50 in just the last 40 years. It's an inescapable, dramatic picture of failing our kids and not providing them a quality education. We know what the problems are, and we know at least some of the solutions. Money or not, we must generate the political will to change the system to educate our children. As a result of reductions in money coming in, school districts are reducing the number of school days. Class sizes are increasing. Summer programs have all but disappeared in California, and yes, districts are laying off employees. These changes are not the kind of changes we want or have been hoping to get. In good times, when employment is high, gas prices are low, and the stock market is soaring, tax revenue flows into the general fund. And the fact of the matter is, when the money is flowing, a few give serious thought to eliminating a failing program or reforming the inadequate system that California schools have become, or increasing productivity to bring in more revenue, or maximizing our quality. The unions continue to demand more pay and benefits for their workers, but nobody hears those voices calling for school reform. And sadly, perhaps, nobody cares. I hope that's not the fact. Instead, what we hear is, there is more money needed for schools, except the facts have borne out that more money does not help kids learn. Money does not seem to be the complete or the sole answer to fixing our schools. I'm hoping tonight Debbie can share a couple of her ideas. It takes expectation, freedom, professional training and development, good principals and administrators, as well as good teachers and involved parents. Now, let me tell you a little bit tonight about Debbie, our guest. Debbie was raised by grandparents that lived through the Depression. She grew up during the 1960s and 70s. When she reached ninth grade, she wanted to experience the other side of life, you might say. She became a rebel of sorts. Close classmates reminded her that she got into trouble for not attending school, and her grandparents placed her in juvenile hall so she would think about what she was doing. The first time it didn't work, though, and the second time after hitting a peace officer, she was given a choice of Job Corps or the girls' ranch. Of course, she said that worked for her. She chose Job Corps. She was just as bad there, but completed her probation and left with certificates. Still a rebel of sorts, she didn't go back to school. She got her first full-time job a week after she turned 18 and moved to her own place. When she turned 22, she had her first child. She was a headstrong person, knowing at all times what she wanted for life. She had not realized that things don't always turn out that way. Maybe that's how our kids think today. This is interesting. She raised her son in church, got involved in his education, as well as had an inner city Cub Scout group for 3 years. She had another child 16 years later and found what was then was not what it is today. She has been involved with the second child's education just as much as the first. She says she was always called upon by friends. I'm hoping I'm still connected here. If not, I hope someone will email me. My cord just came out. She was always called upon by her friends that didn't understand the education system to help them with issues they had. Then when she started to have issues with her second child, she found that it is not what it was when she grew up. I'm going to just connect Debbie while I'm still continuing to talk. Debbie, I'm talking about you. Just give me another minute to give the background, then we'll say hi to you. I just want to make sure that I'm on because one of my cords came out. Then when she started having issues with her second child, she found that it was not what it was when she grew up, nor when her eldest was coming up in it. It has turned into an unpatriotic education, an ill-informed one as well. She proved this when her youngest had a report to do, and this I find especially interesting, being a history teacher, that happened to be similar to one or a report she did in junior high as well. So to test the system, she allowed her daughter to use her information that she received an A on, only for her to receive a D. That may be good to some, but when her work was corrected by the teacher, it made her start asking questions. Those questions, along with the era of Obama and what was going on in America, brought her to a group that she had learned a lot from. Matter of fact, more than ever learned in school as well. This group brought her to the Tea Party and made her realize that this nation was built on people, not government. It was a document that held her together, not the laws of many. Although she is involved in many subjects today, she has been dealing a lot with the education system that seems to have forgotten about what a child is really about. It has allowed think tanks and other non-American values to enter it and take the most important things this nation could offer out. It has made her realize that it isn't always the parent that is at fault for the thinking of our youth, but it is the school's education system that goes against the parent and against American values that is the biggest problem. It is one thing to know one's heritage, but it is another when that heritage is allowed to rule the teaching in the schools and take America out of them. Debbie, I was really impressed by what you wrote there, and I want to say welcome and just take a minute to say hi.
Hi, thank you for inviting me. I was really honored that you would do that.
We're so glad to have you. I have learned about you and gotten to know you on Facebook, and Facebook has been really an exciting thing where you get to learn to know lots of people. I can go directly into our questions we planned tonight, or you can talk a minute or two about just anything you want to about yourself to give people an idea of who you are if you like.
Okay, well, I'm still dealing with the education system, and it is getting very tall, you know, to the point where I'm like, hey, you know what, I don't even care no more. I'm one of those parents going, I'm putting my hands up. You know, I just can't, it's hard. There's so many blockages there for a parent to have their right. And the schools that we have right now are taking away the values I look at books. I've always looked at the school books the kids bring home, you know, and review their homework and what they do. And I've always compared it to what we had when we were in school. And you're correct about the education system and how it's failing. Matter of fact, I found just the other day from April 23rd in the Mercury News where it says just a quick review in 1950s and 60s, the United States dominated the world in K-12 education. We dominated economically. In 70s and 80s, we still had lead among smaller in educating our population through secondary school. And America continued to lead the world economically with other big economies like China. Today, we have fallen behind in both per capita high school graduates and their quality. Consequences to follow. You know, well, there's a problem there, Diane. There's a problem. I have done a lot of homework. I have an MBA, all the stuff that I've learned. And it's things that are, and be up front, the unions. I ran across something off the Communist, California Communist site, okay, that talks about that. And it really blows me away on how they feel and what they said regarding this. And it, when you read something like that, you kind of like what their goals are. It's like, where are the rights of the parents? They're against everything that we did in the 60s, 70s, prior to that. And it seems to work its way in. Yes.
Debbie, I'm really glad tonight to give you opportunity as a parent to share. It isn't very often we get an opportunity to hear what parents get to say. And, you know, we have so many problems we could talk about, and we could have you on again.
We have, that's one of our problems, our teachers. The other one is the kids.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, I was involved in trying to develop a program with the NEA and developing some solution to the bullying problems in California. California schools are number one in the nation with bullying problems, and not just among students, but among educators as well. And were gangs and bullying a problem in schools where your kids attended?
Not so much when my son was in school, but we had parents involved. I started the Cub Scouts, like you know, you had said. My daughter, on the other hand, very big problem. Very, very big problem in the schools. She was afraid. She would always tell the counselors she was afraid of the gangs. When she happened to get in trouble and they put her into a school, I didn't even know about this stuff till she told me, and then I had inquired about the neutral zone, the norteño, the sureño. I said, what are you talking about? And I looked into it, and I said, whoa, what's going on here? Well, she wouldn't even go to school. She refused to go to school. She refused to participate. She refused to do anything. We moved on to this site where we're at now, and every school that she's been into, she's had issues with fighting. Okay,
would you please expound
back.
And tell us a little bit more about what some of those things are that students do to others to bully them, and explain some of those terms you just mentioned?
Norteño, sureño is a term that they use for north side, which means North California to Southern California. The kids, you know, today just are using their heritage. They're my father, my grandfather type thing. They're not using the idea that we're in America, we are Americans, we will stand together as Americans. You know, when I was going to school, in the area that I grew up in, I have to honestly say the alumni before me and the alumni after me were great. The ones before, they made the best, they were the best mentors that we could have, okay? We came from a very diverse education system back then, but yet we were taught American values. We had to know the Constitution. We had to know, you know, the laws. We had to study what America was based on, what it was founded on. We knew all this. Today, they don't do that.
Debbie, mention something here. You just hit on something. I ordered an old textbook from the 1950s and 60s, and I just looked in it tonight. And I was looking at the content of it. You know, I taught history my teaching career. And it is a totally different book than the last few textbooks I use. It teaches you exactly what you're talking about. The three branches of government in detail, how the workings of the government were set up in detail. We need to get back to these kind of books. A lot of the problem is with our textbooks.
It is a big problem with our textbook because, you know, if you raise the kids where they're, where the kids, the schools are raised where, you know, we're going to do a heritage thing where, if, like in high school, I know one school was, if you study Spanish or your family Spanish, you want to take your history in Spanish, you can take the class in Spanish. You can take your first test in Spanish. You got to do it in English for the finals. You know, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I believe the California Constitution says everything has to be in English.
Debbie, are you a Spanish speaker? Are you a Spanish speaker?
No, I spoke Spanish until I got in school.
Well,
I grew my,
but
my,
you did
I
speak
word
Spanish at one time, correct?
Yes,
you
I did.
You did learn
Spanish.
Okay. Well, tell us, just quickly, because we want to move on to our other questions, but tell us what your opinion is about learning curriculum in Spanish and then being tested in English.
I think it's wrong. I totally
and
think
why?
It's wrong. We're in America. And something my grandmother used to tell me when I got in, before kindergarten, I spoke nothing but Spanish. When I got into school, I wasn't allowed to speak Spanish, and I questioned that. I go to my great-grandmother, she'd speak a word of English. And my grandmother told me, when they came over here, I'm a fourth generation, her mother told her, we're in America now. We're here to be Americans. Okay? You will speak English at all times. My great-grandmother did not learn English, but she wouldn't go outside. She'd have my grandmother do the translating. So when I got in school, it was no more, you know, it's all English. You're going to study, you're in America. And I've noticed that there's nothing wrong knowing both languages. There's nothing wrong with, and there's nothing wrong with learning your heritage. But you, it's one thing to learn American America, and it's another thing to inform on your heritage. Because
Debbie,
when you start learning your heritage,
Debbie, when I was teaching high school, 70% of my students were Mexican. And one thing that I told them is that you can be an American without giving up your ethnicity. You can still hold on to your culture, your language. And high school teaches many foreign languages, Spanish being one of them. So no one's asking anybody to give up their particular culture from their heritage or their language, but we want them to place the American culture and citizenship first because we're here in America.
That's correct. And it brings in pride for America. Today you don't see the pride. What you see is divide.
Mm-hmm.
You see the kids dividing amongst themselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
back when my son was growing up, my theory was you pay attention to the kids, you get involved, and that you got to do today. You still have
mm-hmm.
to do that today, and even more so, okay? But
share with us some about what we've been talking about, how it's affected your kids in their education and their lives.
Well, with my son, he went to school. He was straight. He was a good student, even though he was severely ADHD. ADD and dyslexic. He went on to college, put himself through college. But when he got in college, the minute he hit that sociology class that they teach, things started changing, and I didn't know why until one of my friends started going back to school in Sacramento, and she told me how they do it in college. You got to be kidding, you know. I just hit on it. And since then, my son and I have not seen eye to eye on a lot of things. He's
well, what do they teach in that sociology class that you recall? What do they teach?
Well, all I know is everything that I brought him up to believe, you know, like in God, in church, in oneself, you know, like you could be anything and do anything you want to do. You know, you could be whoever you want to be. You just have
mm-hmm.
to try.
Mm-hmm.
Changed. It's mm-hmm. more of, well, that's, you know, it's like no God. You don't talk God to him, church to him. You know, because that's not the way it is. I mean, it's the whole belief system. I don't know what they teach in those classes. Everything changed.
Well, what does he talk about instead of that?
We don't talk about anything. We can't talk anymore together. It's bad.
Oh.
It's really bad. We argue a lot. So we decide never to talk about stuff.
Hmm.
Now, with my daughter, on the other hand, she says she can't go to the school that she wants us to go to because of what I call the numbers and politics that is running our system.
Explain that.
She hasn't performed at all. Well, they go by API. They go by numbers. You know, they go. They look at districts. They look at things that hold a child back. If a child is through them, if a child is going to perform, then let them perform. She hasn't performed anywhere for the past 2 years. Okay.
You mean at all? She hasn't performed at all, or hasn't performed well? Nothing,
When she was in junior high, she was not performing. She wanted to go to my alumni. I didn't want her to, but we found out this girl that she got in a fight with in the classroom that she didn't get in trouble for because the girl started it, was going to the school that I had signed her to. So I broke down and said, okay, you can go to mine, right? But I was leery of mine because all I remembered was I came from the worst year of that school, and I didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't know about it. But I let it go. And surprisingly enough, she started performing. She got on the junior varsity football team. She was getting A's, B's, and C's. But because of one incident and because of one little political law, they told her she couldn't come back. And was had to
well, do we want to go into that political law or look at those other questions about that we'd planned? If you talk about that, just make it real short. We're running out of time.
Because of McKinley Grant, McKinley Grant not being in the district. Because of the fact that when you do an inter-district transfer, the district that she was transferring back into are looking at you've got to have credits, and you've got to have a 2.0, and you've got to have this. It's like, wait a minute. This girl needs to perform. I'm a parent. My responsibility is to make sure she graduates. Your responsibility is to make sure she graduates. But they look at numbers. How many kids they got. Their kids come first. We need vouchers.
Well,
we need to be able to have a right back.
Okay, yeah, I suspect they look at numbers for their ADA money and the money to fill their budget. But, yeah, I know you mentioned about you would like to talk about vouchers. Now, voucher programs in California have been voted down by the public, but there are other alternatives. And we could do tax credits, for example, and work it through our tax returns. And so the idea of funding for parents to have choice is still something a lot of people like about. So do you believe this kind of a program, and I prefer to call it school choice, where parents put their kids where they want, because the voucher term voucher kind of has a red flag for a lot of people who would like to be done with that. But I think it's good to have school choice. And how do you think that would help you and your kids get the quality education you'd like them to have?
Not just me, a lot of other kids, Diane. Because I would be able to go to, you know, pick a school, whatever school I want, private, or no matter what it is, so long as it's following the law. I would be willing to be involved more in the school process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I used to go to board meetings. I don't feel comfortable at board meetings no more. You know, I would go get involved that way. I want to be able to choose what school she goes to without the limitations of where the school is located and where the school is at.
Okay, briefly go into those limitations that keep you from getting your daughter in a school where you think is best for her. What are some of those limitations? What are some of those limitations that keep you from getting your daughter?
The limitations are, you know, you have a ATI school that's doing good, or just the fact that it makes her happy. My theory has always been, if the child is happy, then the child will perform. Just like a person that's at work, if you're unhappy in the job, you're not going to perform. Same thing with the kids. Mm-hmm. You're making these kids go to their school, home school. If they're not happy there, they're not going to perform in the classroom. If, you know, or you put them in the next school in the same district, they're not happy. Put them where they're going to perform. The whole idea is to educate so they can get out into the world.
Have you been given any choices in your district where you could transfer her?
she's got two schools left in this district. We did put in for one of the other schools. I can't say after she says that she's not even worried about it no more. Basically, I think she's given up about going back to the other school that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a fear that things aren't going to work out.
Okay, we just have about 2 or 3 minutes left here, so I'm going to ask you the last question so we have another subject. Okay, what do you think about the gay agenda passed by the California legislature that will now show up in California textbooks in 2014 when the bill requires textbooks to include gender identification of historical figures?
Well, on a personal level, I think it's wrong. Okay, California's already been teaching that stuff in the junior high era with that waiver thing that doesn't work, the kids still go. But if they want to do this, do it for kids in the 12th grade. Do not do it with the junior high and the elementary school kids or anybody below that, because kids are going through puberty. They're confused about themselves already. All you're doing is adding to the confusion, saying it's okay if you feel, you know. I mean, we all can relate to that. People need to stop and think about how it was when they were kids, and stop this the BS about, you know, hey, we can do this. These think tanks, we can do this. They're not our kids. We need to get more of our rights back and have more say. Period. Okay, I'll tell you what, Diane, the way things are going right now, our kids are not going to be the future.
How do you think parents could be involved in schools successfully?
Everybody needs to get involved, whether they have kids or not, whether they think that, oh, they're not our kids. Get involved with the school board. Look at the books they're reading, they're using in school. Watch, pay attention to the teachers. I had one counselor that told her when she was in the seventh grade, it's okay to be gay. You can be gay. Come out with it. I chewed that one out. Okay? The thing is, you know what? You've got to be aware at all times now. It's not like back then when parents went to work and the teachers took over. We could trust the teachers to teach American values. Now they're
all right, Debbie. Guess what? Debbie, our time is almost up. We want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. I'm just going to give you about 15 seconds, and then when the music starts, that'll be the end. But I am so glad to have had you tonight. And remember, this will be archived so people can hear it later. So thank you so much again, Debbie, and just take about 10 seconds to say goodnight.
Good night, and please, whether you agree or you don't agree, get involved in your schools and what these kids are doing. It's very important. And
all right, parents need to keep a close eye on what's being taught and how it's taught in our schools. And we look forward to you all joining us next time. Thanks so much, Debbie. Next month will be the first Wednesday night in June, which is June 1st. We look forward to you all being with us then. Have a good night, and you can listen to our shows on the archive on blogtalkradio.com. Diane Lenning. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I love you. I love you. We'll be with you next time. June 1st, 8 p.m., California time. Good night. God bless you, and God bless America. God bless you.